Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are, another Friday night, ladies and gentlemen, with nothing to lose. I mean, what in the hell do we have to lose on a Friday night, right? Wow, we have a great show lined up here tonight. We have a special guest co-host, Mr. Michael Grover, whom we will bring on here shortly in just a second. And, yeah, wow, okay, sneaker pimps, right? Yeah. So anyhow, yeah, our featured guest here tonight is, her name is Annery Bellamy, and she's an entrepreneur, she has all kinds of stuff, and she's, oh my gosh, she has so much going on. She's an entrepreneur, and she's also, you know, she writes children's books and stuff, and illustrates them too, and I'm sure, she does a lot more than that, believe me. I'm sure she's going to have tons of fun stuff talk to us about and all that. But in the meantime, I'm going to bring up my co-host here, Mr. Brian. Mr. Brian, Brian Sturdivant. Brian, are you there, man?
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good.
Pretty good? All right. How is the mayor of Humboldt County doing there? I mean, what's the latest there?
Right now I'm chilling at a motel, just got done dunking my balls in the hot tub.
That sounds nice. Hot tub dunking. Yeah. All right. Teabag in the hot tub, huh? That's sweet.
Yep. Making some cock and ball soup.
Cock and ball soup. Yeah, I do that every spring and summer pretty much. My underwear or diaper or adult diaper or whatever you want to call it. It gets inundated with that, you know. It simmers and all that. Hey, you know, a funny thing is, I shit you not, Brian, and I never would have gotten a reference if I had never met you. I was watching, this is horrible to say in the first place, but, I watch American Dad, Family Guy, you know, those randy little, you know, everyday cartoons that, you know, you shouldn't watch with your kids, but I do watch with my kids. Anyhow, there was a reference to Humboldt County on American Dad. I shit you not. I was like, I don't know. Are you familiar with American Dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the father on American Dad referenced Humboldt County in an episode that I watched just earlier today. And I was like,
that's freaking awesome.
Humboldt County, I know that. And he said, Humboldt County, yeah, where they grow the you know what. And, I know, and I never would have gotten the reference. And he said, I don't know why I know that. And I was thinking, I don't know why I know that, but I do know why I know that because of the mayor of Humboldt County. Yeah. So, hell, man, there's been some crazy stuff going on here. Are you familiar with the whole, DMX versus George Zimmerman here? Like the potential boxing match. I mean, that's been like a hotbed of all kinds of stuff here.
Yeah, I've been following it. I watched an interview that his publicist did, that DMX publicist did, and pretty much said there's no contract signed or there's nothing set in stone that Zimmerman's manager, promoter,
Zimmerman
is the one
has a manager. That right there is ridiculous, right? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it fucking blows my mind that anybody is calling that dude a celebrity.
Exactly, yeah. George Zimmerman being a celebrity is ridiculous. I mean, completely ridiculous. I mean, Jesus Christ. And you know what? Let's bring on our special co-host here for the night, Mr. Michael Grover, who is from Toledo, Ohio, and we're going to bring him on and let him weigh in here on that and many other things. And he's got some other stuff to talk about in a bit. But we'll bring him on as special co-host tonight and let us join us about this whole George Zimmerman versus DMX, like boxing match and stuff, and see, you know, get his opinion. Hello, Mr. Michael Grover.
Zimmerman.
Hello, this isn't Mr. Michael Grover. Are you there, buddy?
I'll fight George Zimmerman.
I bet you can kick his ass.
True.
Hey, Grover. Man, welcome to the show, and thanks for, you know, hanging out with us tonight and being co-host, man. Special guest co-host. And, I mean, there's a lot to talk about tonight. A lot to talk about, you know, regarding, you know, the Collingwood Center. But for this moment here, all three of us, let's remove our hats and just do a Pledge of Allegiance here real quick. Okay, here we go. Ready?
I'm going to read poetry into a sock.
I bet you will. Here we go.
Here's a sock. I'll see you on the board.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
God damn it. Okay.
Was that from the Super Bowl?
That's so dramatic. But,
Was that from the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl? No. This year's Super Bowl was super, like, crapola. I mean, a blowout.
They had, like, the Pledge of Allegiance and God Bless America and... I don't know. They kind of... a little bit.
So yeah, Mr. Grover here, can you entertain us here with the whole, you know...
entertain us?
Well, or give your opinion regarding, you know, this whole George, you know, Zimmerman versus DMX boxing match. And George, I mean, the fact that George Zimmerman is even being considered a celebrity. I mean, what's
your
opinion?
Well, everybody knows who he is because he's an asshole.
But right, so celebrity boxing match. What do you think?
Everybody wants
is
to see him get beat up. Why not? I'd like to see
there's the thing. I would love to see him get his ass kicked. And I think a lot of people would, too.
That's what I'm talking about. That's why they're doing it. Who doesn't want to see him get his ass kicked?
Same time, I find it kind of weird and ironic that, you know, this guy is, you know, even in the, you know, the spotlight. You know what I mean? He's in the spotlight, and
everybody
the whole title, celebrity... celebrity boxing match just blows my mind because he's not a celebrity, you know. Is that all it takes nowadays is to, you know, okay, I'll just murder somebody, you know, and I'm a celebrity.
Gotta shoot a black kid.
DMX's publicist explained it pretty well.
He said
that you got to look at it. Zimmerman can't get a regular job. No one is going to hire that guy.
You're right, yeah.
So he's got to come up with some kind of scam to make money because he's in hiding.
He's got to cash in on this while he can.
And there's no way that fight's going to happen because they would have to have more security than the Olympics.
Speaking of which, it's boring this year, but yeah.
Someone's
I agree.
Try to fucking shoot him.
You're right. You know, it's, you know, and I hate to say it, there's this, like, I don't know, primal side of me that would really
that
like
to
see
fight
DMX.
Zimmerman.
A primal side of me that would like to see DMX kick Zimmerman's ass. But at the same time, the whole thing just seems horrible because, you know, think about it, a kid was murdered, a 15-year-old kid was murdered, and somehow it's become the circus, you know what I mean? And that's what I find ironic and hurtful, you know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah.
Yeah, see, and it's like, okay, it's become this media circus and whatever, you know, and it's just, ooh, man, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to, like... take that.
I think it's a pretty shitty deal, but I too would. I want to see it because DMX said he would piss on him after he beat him up.
See, and I would like to see that too, and I think a lot of other people would too. See, that's the ironic thing. It's like, man, it's like a double-edged sword. It's like, you know, I don't like seeing or hearing all this publicity for some asshole who isn't a celebrity.
I don't want to see him get pissed off.
But yeah, I'd like to see him get his ass kicked, you know, live on TV and get pissed on.
Get pissed on.
By, you know, an old rapper who he himself has been through hell and back. honestly, I mean, Jesus Christ. wow. So, wow, okay. Yeah, that was pretty heavy. Any lighter news, anyone, quickly? Beyond this celebrity box, you know, pseudo-celebrity boxing match or pseudo, like, whatever, bullshit fest. No lighter news? All right. And then let's just segue on forward to Mr. Grover, Mr. Michael Grover, our special co-host tonight. Man, I've known you for quite some time, and I'm pretty close to you, and I'd like to, you know, talk about what's going on with you there up in northern Ohio, in Toledo, Ohio, with the whole, you know, artist in residence at the Collingwood. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on there, buddy?
Well, it sucks.
It sucks.
They're pretty much throwing over 28 artists out on the street and sweeping it under the rug.
Right, and this,
I mean,
this
these
has
people,
been...
these people have lived here for years. They don't know anything else.
Right.
Everybody's
and so, I mean, what's been going on with that? I mean, this has been sort of in the works here for the past month and a half or so?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and well, just can you elaborate a little bit more about what's going on there? I mean, I know, you know, there's, you know, the Collingwood Art Center is in Toledo, Ohio, and there's a bunch of resident artists who live there, you know,
yep.
And that's, you know, right. And
I live there.
I know you live there. That's what I'm getting at. And you guys are getting evicted because of some, I don't know, politics or whatnot. Is that correct? And
we're being told it's politics. I mean, we went to a local bar and tried to have a fundraiser there, and they said they didn't want to get too political.
Uh-huh. Wow.
I mean, we're pretty much getting thrown out of our homes, but we're being told it's political.
Uh-huh.
I guess it's political. I don't know.
And okay, so you guys started a fundraiser, is that correct? To, you know, help
yes.
you and the other 19 or 20 residents there in the Collingwood Art Center,
yep.
you know, make your transition elsewhere.
And go for it.
How's that gone so far?
Well, we reached the goal.
Uh-huh.
And we had a meeting Tuesday night. We're going to get the money, like, Monday or something and start distributing it, but people can still contribute if they want to. I'll left the site up.
Okay. Well, how can people contribute? I mean,
it's on GoFundMe. It's the residents of the Collingwood Art Center.
Uh-huh. All right.
So why are they kicking you guys out? Do you guys pay to live there?
Yeah, we pay. We get a subsidized rent to live here and work on our art, pretty much.
And so are they wanting the building for other purposes, or what?
They're saying it's unsafe, but there's a lot of shady stuff that's going on also.
So sounds like they're trying to kick you guys out to use the building for something else.
Yeah, they're just trying to get rid of us. Maybe bring in a higher class of artists or something. I don't know. Gentrify the place. I don't think it'll work, but they could try.
Well, you know, I've been to the Collingwood Art Center, and it's a beautiful facility. And you know, I've met, you know, Mr. Michael Grover and many other, you know, great artists, being poets, you know, photographers or painters and all that. There, you know, and I've read there, and I've had many experiences, wonderful experiences there, and it just it kind of saddens me that, you know, to hear this is happening. And I mean, what's going to happen to this building? What are they going to do with it, Mr. Grover?
They say they're going to renovate it and reopen it. I think in a year it'll
renovate
be a giant crack house.
Well, they're going to renovate it. Well, I mean, what do you mean by that? They're going to renovate it and do what with it?
They got to rewire it because the electrical system was installed in 1900. So, like, if people use their space heaters or something, it'll blow the fuse.
Okay. Well, see, that sounds bogus. Sounds very bogus.
They want to rewire it. That's one thing they want to do. Like I said, we're having the worst winter that we've had in ever.
Since 1978, when I was a kid, Yeah, I remember the big blizzard in 1978 here in Ohio. But
we had a pipe burst here, but I think that was on purpose. I mean,
well, that's too bad. I sorry to hear that. And so, I mean, is the fundraising going well? I mean, is it going to help you guys out? Or, I mean, how are you going to transition, man? What's your ultimate plans?
I've got a place to stay, like 2 houses down. I'm gonna rent a room there.
Uh huh.
But I'm just hanging around to make sure everybody's okay, because it's so chaotic. I mean, these people, everybody's so crazy around here right now.
Yeah. So you're just winging it. I mean, you got a place down here in southwestern Ohio. You could just crash and. But anyway.
I know that you. You've offered me a place to crash like several people have, and I'm touched by that, really. I am.
All right. Well, awesome, man. Awesome. So, hey, we're going to bring up our featured guest here in just a few moments, Anne-Marie Bellamy. She's got tons of fun stuff to share with us, and, how about we do a little bit of Puff the Magic Dragon, and we get right back here, and we make this happen. Puff the Magic Dragon. Brian, I know... You get the metaphor. He's giggling because he is the mayor of Humboldt County, which I found out from the cartoon American Dad. That is the capital of the USA when it comes to, the special puffiness. All right, here we go. A little bit of Puff the Magic Dragon, and we'll be right back.
Magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Puff the magic dragon lived by roared out his name. Oh, Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. For other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more, and Puff that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Puff no longer went to play along the cherry
and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called the field
in a land called Hanali.
Amen. All right. Yes. Puff the Magic Dragon. Wow. I feel refreshed. All right, and since I feel refreshed, I guess, you know what, we should bring on our featured guest, Anne-Marie Bellamy. She has so much going on. She is, oh my gosh, entrepreneur, and, you know, she's writing and illustrating kids' books and everything else. She has so much going on, and she also has a blog talk radio show. And we're going to bring her on, and we are going to pick her brain and, yeah, and make her feel welcome here. Anne-Marie Bellamy, are you ready for this? We're bringing you on. Here we go. Hello. Hello, Anne-Marie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're right. It is morning. My goodness. It is. It is on the eastern coast. Yeah, that's right. I've got you're in the same time zone as me here. thank you so much for holding and thank you so much for being on the show. It's a true pleasure here. And, yeah, wow, we have so much going on here. You know, entrepreneur, I mean, yeah, where do we start? I mean, where are you from? You're from North Carolina, is that correct?
Yep, I'm from North Carolina.
And, yeah, geez, you do so much. You do so much. And, well, let's start with that. Let's start with, you know, you being an entrepreneur. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, and not only that, and, you know, you have a whole, like, kids book series that you're, you know, you have in the works, which I find fascinating. And so let's start with just a quick introduction. Just introduce yourself and let us know exactly what you have going on here.
Well, yep. I'm Anne-Marie Bellamy, and I'm out of North Carolina. And I'm an entrepreneur that wants to keep other entrepreneurs from making the same dumb mistakes I did. So,
right?
So because of that, I launched the Institute of Entrepreneurial Success. So it's kind of like I've already made the mistake, so how about I cut the past out for you and keep you from making some of the same ones.
Right.
And then, you know, being an entrepreneur in the business world gets so heavy. Sometimes I love children. I'm a mom of three. So when that gets a little heavy, I get to switch over and be Sissy Rochelle and get into the kids' world and be a kid for a while. Interact with the children, with the children's book series.
And,
so
okay,
I get to be in both worlds.
That's beautiful. So how do you go from, that's what I find fascinating. Okay, you've got all these ventures going on, and you've been involved in, it seems like way much more than I can even comprehend at this point, as far as like, you know, being an entrepreneur, you know, and involved in, like, business, and, you know, business ventures and stuff like that. How do you make that, you know, transition from just being, like, a business person to being, like, a writer and all that, and balancing that as, you know, just being you're a parent, right? You have kids, like, three kids, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep, okay.
Three girls, active girls.
Mm-hmm. Three girls, oh, my goodness. Wow,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, my poor husband, he's the lone wolf in the house.
The lone wolf. Does he deal well with it all? I mean.
Oh, yeah. Actually,
oh,
he
yeah.
has the upper hand because girls love their daddy. So I'm
oh,
the one
yeah.
that's lonely,
they do.
Actually.
Yep. I have a little girl and she loves her daddy. Yeah, I know. I get it.
Yeah.
You get that too, don't you, Brian?
Yeah. My daughter just turned 18.
Oh, my goodness. 18. Wow.
So I know she loves me, but she hates me at the same time.
She's at that age, right?
Yep.
All right. So Anne-Marie, I am pronouncing your name right. Anne-Marie, is that correct?
No.
No? Okay.
You're not, but that's okay. Most people don't.
Okay. Correct me then, because I'm horrible with names.
If you think of Canary, Canary or Mary.
Aneri. 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 Wow. Okay. Thank you. Aneri, listen to me. Gosh, I'm such a dip hole.
I was going to ride it out.
You were going to ride? No, don't you dare. No, no. You just flat out just let me know, okay? So I'm really fascinated with, you know, the whole fact you, you know, this being an entrepreneur, because I am far from being that. I wish I could. I wish I had that mindset, you know, that business-like thing. I mean, what, at what age, at what point did you decide, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be an entrepreneur and, you know, I'm business-oriented. How does one get into that mindset? I mean, what initially inspired that?
Well, I don't think my story is like most. Most people say something like, you know, they had a job and they started hating their job and decided they wanted something different, all of that. My story is a little different. I was a stay-at-home mom and I got bored. So because I got bored and I kind of wanted my own money, I played around with some different ideas. People were always picking my brain anyway, so I decided, hey, let's turn it into a business. And so I ended up starting one, then two, then three. You know, I just evolved from one thing to the next. Well, let's try this. Well, let's try that. So that's really how I got into being an entrepreneur, with too much time on my hands.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, listen, I mean, being a stay-at-home mom, I'm a stay-at-home dad, by the way, so, you know, being a stay-at-home mom is no, or dad or any stay-at-home parent, it is no easy deal. The fact that you can find the time to, you know, move forward from that and try to be an entrepreneur and make money, I mean, that to me, in itself, is amazing. So you said you were just bored and just you came up. So just came up with that. I mean, that was just.
Yeah, I ran into somebody that had a little part-time gig where they were writing blogs for somebody, and so I said, okay, so you write words on a piece of paper, and somebody pays you their money. And you know, and they don't even know you from Adams, and they're at a whole other place. And she was like, "Yeah, you know, that's how it works." So I said, "I'll try that." Well, worked out really good. So because of that, Biz Writers Pro was born. I was like, "Well, I'll just turn it into a business." And so that's really how it got started.
Speaking of Biz Writers, I mean, how did that go? I mean, how long did that last?
Actually, it lasted to the point where I had more contracts than I could handle.
So
I ended up actually sharing the business with someone, and they ended up building a team. And from there, I was like, well, you know, I kind of want out of this one, so you can have it. And so I gave them that business and moved on to the next one, which through writing, I found out people need administrators. So I happened across the director of All Hazards Consortium out of New Jersey. They work with nonprofits for emergency assistance and things like that. They create those plans. And I became his executive assistant. I don't really know how, but it happened. So so from there, I know how it happened. I found a very small mistake in my book, but it was huge in his. He's like, hey, I need an executive assistant. You want to give it a try? So from there, I ended up scheduling appointments and booking conferences from North Carolina for New Jersey. Got pretty good at it, to the point where they were on the phone with me, and I was walking them into the room they needed to be in. And they would get in the room and say, well, where's Aneri? I want to thank her and meet her. And he'd say, well, she's actually on the phone, because I was able to walk them to the room. So
Well, you know, it takes a special someone to, you know, and a special type of personality and mentality to, you know, do that and to be someone who can just juggle things like that. And I'm not one of those type of people, and I admire people who can, you know. So that's one of the things I find fascinating, that, you know, you can do this. you know, you can be, you know, this type of person, you know. And you know, you – event, you went on to event planning and catering and stuff like that. Is that correct?
Yeah, I gave away, that was called, I turned that into executive administrative management. And I had some people who had degrees and couldn't find jobs. And so I put them together and gave them that business. And then from there, people started asking me to cook for them all the time and help them find cost-effective ways to do their events. So I looked at my husband and I said, all right, you ready for invention number three? He was like, oh, God, okay, do it.
Okay, time out. See, I find that fascinating, too, the whole dynamic between, you know, between husband and wife, you know, when, you know, taking on these ventures. I mean, what was his reaction? I mean, I have to hear what, I mean, how did he react? What was his thoughts? Okay? You guys have been together for a long time, I understand, right? Like, you know, so.
Mm-hmm, 16 years.
Yeah, 16 years. Wow. That's impressive. So what was his reaction, if you don't mind me asking? Do you mind?
No, No, the first time he was like, you're going to do what? You're going to write. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, and people are actually going to tell you to do that. Okay, when I see that, then I'll believe you. So, you know, he started seeing the money, and then it became, hey, leave your mom alone. She needs to write. Come in here. Stay in here. Your mama's working. And then he came home one day, and I said, hey, I'm the executive assistant of a government agency in New Jersey. And he said, you're a what? I said, I'm an executive assistant. And he's like, okay, well, what does that mean? So I explained it to him. Well, the third time around, he just was like, okay, so what part do I have to play in this one? So what's my role in this one? So that was the event planning and catering. And, of course, I couldn't do it just the norm. I had to go above and beyond. So we did it all. In other words, when somebody called us for their event, we did their invitations, we did the decorations, we did the food. Really, all they had to do was show up for the whole day. We did it all.
Lord, wow, that's a lot of work.
Yeah. So he was
glad.
Did
that come out of your, like, your own pocket? I mean, or were you able to cover your costs? I mean.
Yeah, now they had to pay for it.
Okay.
They definitely had to pay for it.
Okay.
But when the third child came along, it was just kind of impossible for us to be a husband and wife team and do that too.
Uh-huh.
So we laid that one aside. And that's how we got to where we are today, is all the mistakes that I made in those, because I made some trust and belief, is how I came up with the all-in-one services and the institute and things like that, because I felt like all the answers people didn't give me, I wanted to give other people.
Nice. Okay. Well, speaking of all-in-one services, you know, I like the little logo there for all-in-one. That's very clever. Did you create that? I understand you're into doing a little bit of graphic design yourself. Is that correct?
I am.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. That was born out of a conversation. I was talking to my sister-in-law, and I was talking about the concept and the name. I said, I just got to come up with a logo.
Right.
She was like, well, what are you going to do? I said, it's definitely going to be the number one. She was like, well, just throw the word all inside of it. You know, there you go. So it was like a five-minute conversation that developed that logo. So. Okay. This is good to pay attention to those conversations. That's tip number one for entrepreneurs. You know, be sure and listen. You never know what'll come from a conversation. Take note.
So, okay, so all-in-one services. Was to, you know, contact you as far as all-in-one services, what would they expect or what would you have available for them?
Right now my focus is PR and social media management.
Uh-huh.
But I have a list of all kind of businesses, whether it's web design, graphic design, press releases, blog writing, anything businesses need. I have a secure referral list so that the people that I refer them to, number one, won't overcharge, and number two, will actually give them quality work. So that's where the other part comes in. They can come to me and get directed any way they need to go, or I can provide the service, one to two.
Nice.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me ask you that. So I manage a hip hop artist, and I look for PR services and stuff. So if I was to come to you to get those services, so you would charge to talk to me, right?
Yeah, I would either charge to talk to you and tell you how to do it, or I would charge you even more for me to do it.
Uh-huh.
So you have, two options. I can either direct you in the right direction, or I can be the one out there promoting and finding gigs and talking to people.
Okay. Well, dang, I might have to link up with you. Because we're at a point now where, we have his official CD out and stuff, and we got music videos, and we're just looking for that right person to hear him to, get on tours and stuff. And we got our YouTube, we got our Facebook. We're just trying to reach that next level, and we're looking, it sounds like, we're looking for someone like you that has those lists.
Okay. Now I have to give you a warning. I give all my potential clients the same warning. I am very, very honest. Yes, the warning. I am very, very honest. Very honest. So I'm going to tell you how the public is going to see it, or I'm going to say, well, if somebody sells something, and they present it to me and say, well, it's not selling, then I'm actually going to be honest enough to say, well, why would they buy it? What are you offering them? You have to switch up some things. So
yeah,
I am honest. Some people don't like that honesty. They say it's good at first, and then when I start picking things apart, they're like, nah. Never mind. I'm like, okay, well, you just keep staying on that hamster wheel then. But okay, so, so that's just my warning. I am honest.
Okay, I appreciate honesty. I mean, I don't want to hear you tell me lies and then we're sitting here, not going forward with anything.
Okay, that's good then. I guess I'm your person then, if you like honesty. If you don't mind that, but I'm definitely your person.
Yeah, I will have to link up with you after the show.
Absolutely. Oh, we're all about link ups here on Nothing to Lose. I'm a matchmaker. This is that's what we do here. We're matchmakers. All right. So seriously, another thing you have going on there is it's the Institute of Entrepreneurial Success. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
It has a what, why, how concept is what I call it. And my first book, I wrote a time management book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all of my books will have that tag, the show as well, what, why, and how. And that's because as I was growing all these businesses and I'm reading through everybody's stuff and all these expert opinions, they tell me what I need. They tell me why I need it. And then they leave me hanging. It's like, okay, so how do I get it?
Uh-huh.
It doesn't do me any good for you to tell me I need to write press releases and why I need to write them, but don't tell me where to put them or what I do with them after I write them. Do I put them on my website? Do I just leave them hanging in the air? What am I supposed to do with this after the fact? So I wanted to make sure that what I built took a person all the way through from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, I don't know what it is about competition out there, but people will have already gotten where you're trying to get, but they don't want to share that information with you. When I was doing the catering, I was trying to get the right license for it. I'm standing there talking to a family that owns a catering company. How do I get the insurance? And they're looking at me like, figure it out. So That's why I'm just trying to build that platform where they can get honest answers to things, to questions like that major myth that being an entrepreneur means you can set your own schedule. Well, they make that sound so good. You know, be an entrepreneur and you can control your own schedule. You don't have to work an 8 to 5. And it's like, well, no, you don't. But if you want to eat, you might want to think about it. Like, you know, like sleeping to 12 is not going to get it done. So that's just one of those things they put out there and make it sound really, really good, but they don't explain the truth behind it. So, again, one of those things I learned the hard way. It's like, well, wait, if I can set my own schedule, then why can't I go out and work out with my girlfriend and eat lunch for 2 hours and everything work out okay? You know, like, why did my income just drop a couple of $100? What happened?
So I got to ask you, do you just go out and work out with your girlfriend on occasion?
Bless her heart, once I got that whole time management thing and that I can't set my own schedule, see, once a month, we might
get once a month,
right.
Oh, no, that's not enough. Come on.
It's like, you know, she does good to get a 10-minute call. I'm just calling to say hello and make sure you're still alive, okay? I got to take this call. I'll talk to you later, you know. So, but, you know, you got to put in the time to get there. My life is literally color-coded. Like, everything has a color, from the kids to breaks to, you know, my client work. My husband even has a color. He even has a date night color. Like, these nights, I promise, if you're patient with me, you'll have my undivided attention. So it is what it is. So that's the truth about being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You don't set your own schedule.
I wish I had the energy and the drive to be an entrepreneur. I don't know what I am anymore, but I sure as heck, you know, admire someone such as you who has that drive and everything. I mean, that's just, wow.
that
blows my mind, you know. You have so much going on, so much, you know, with, you know, all your different, I mean, and that's what blows my mind, too. How do you find that balance between all of this, doing all this stuff, and being mom, okay? Because I am, okay, as I stated earlier, I am stay-at-home dad. And I try to balance all this stuff, too. And it's brutal. It's brutal. And I only have 2 kids, and you have 3. So
yeah.
How in the heck do you find the time to balance it all?
Well, a lot of it is little tricks that I've learned. That
little tricks.
Parents,
oh, I need to know these tricks. I need to know these. Okay,
yeah.
Here we go. Bingo. Ding, 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 ding. Little tricks.
She said she charges for that.
How much is this going to cost me?
Well, this is all on the Institute. This one's free. It's on the house. Kids get hungry. Like, it happens.
Right?
You know,
kids get hungry.
How many times a day you have to feed them?
Right?
Well, if you wait till they get hungry, then I have 3 kids calling my name. You know, so that's 3 times minimum that I hear them say, Mom, I'm hungry. So...
Mm-hmm. I can so relate. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to giggle because I can so relate. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I go ahead and feed them before they get hungry. Like, just, I'm going to go ahead and do this so they know, hey, you know what?
Uh-huh.
My mom is not going to starve me to death. So if I just give a minute, she's actually going to feed me. I just leave her alone. She's going to get a bunch. She's not going to starve me. So because they have that trust, they don't bug me about food all the time. They get thirsty. They want something to drink. Well, don't come ask me 100 times and tell me you're thirsty, could have something to drink. So what I do is I just dump it in a drawer. I just dump a whole bunch of drinks in the refrigerator. Now, some parents are like, oh, my God, I'm going to be buying drinks every 2 days. I'm like, no, because what happens is you tell them how long it has to last. When it gets gone, you drink water. So, of course, the first time, they ran through like 30 juices. Guaranteed in 2 days. So they drunk water the rest of the week. How about the next time I could hear them in there going, how many juices have you had? you know we're going to have to drink water if you drink all those. But they don't ask me. They don't say, Mom, I'm thirsty. They just go in there and get it, and they manage it themselves. Same thing with snacks. So a little independent, and it works with every age. I have from 5 to 15. It works with all of them. You know, just
right.
Those little things right there allows me to get things done. Giving them incentives and saying, if you just leave me alone for 2 hours and let me do this, I promise we'll go to the park or we'll watch a movie. Or we'll
oh, my God. I can so relate. I've done the same bribe.
Yes.
And I set up the, you know, the little Capri Suns and the Gatorade in the fridge where they can get to them and access them. And, you know, the potato chips or pretzels or whatever where they can access them. So just leave Daddy alone while Daddy's trying to work.
When they get older. When they get older, this is the one that works with my 15-year-old. If you come in here and bug me during the 2 hours that I ask you not to bug me, you have to work. I'm going to make you type something. I'm going to make you proofread something. I'm going to make you search for something on the Internet. If you come in here, I'm going to put you to work. So that takes care of that one.
That's great.
Yeah. So
you make
those
me feel
things
like
I learned the hard way, though.
We all learn the hard way as parents. I mean, Brian, come on, man. Sounds like you're way ahead of us. You know, as far as being a parent, I mean, what are some of your experiences?
I definitely have learned a lot of stuff being a single parent of a girl.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy. Here we go. Girl. Okay. I think girls are harder than boys. I've got a boy and a girl, but the girl seems to be harder than the boy. I, honest to God. Just, yeah, let's hear it, man. That's
yeah, when they come to you asking female questions, I don't know. I don't. I
Google
either got
it.
A recent,
what do you mean
I,
you don't know? Google it.
Google it. Google hasn't been around for that long.
That's what I was going to say. I either had to look it up or I had to send her to grandma.
So, I mean, all right. Do you have any, like, anecdotes, Brian, regarding raising, you know, a girl? any
I'm,
like, fun story?
I'm really disappointed in California's laws and stuff because I believe in the kids need their ass whooped if they misbehave. And the laws have changed here immensely since I was a kid. And even yelling at your kids here, like, you're a bad parent. So, yeah, it's been rough. And they teach the kids in the schools now that, like, you know, if you feel like your parents are mistreating you, here's the phone number to call CPS. And, yeah, I've been through it.
Yeah, I wouldn't survive there then.
that's California. That's on the West Coast, you know, the left coast, as some people like to say. And I'm sure people who live – I used to live there too, so – pardon me, but people hate it when they say left coast, you know. Do you hate that, Brian? Do you hate it when people say, oh, left coast?
No, I don't care. We are.
You're just late. Because you know why? Because you're the mayor of Humboldt County. You just say that. You don't give a shit. Yeah. So.
No, the discipline thing was definitely a challenge. When she started kindergarten, they first started doing the whole let's talk about our feelings. If
really?
You're a bull.
Hello?
Hello?
Brian, you there? Brian just apparently passed out there in Humboldt County. I don't know. He dropped out. All right. Well, anyway, so... Let's talk about the Natalie series, okay? Because that, more than anything, I you know, want to... oh, wait, I think... Brian, you back?
Hello?
Okay, we lost you there for a second. What
yes,
happened there? Did you pass out there in Humboldt County? Apparently he did. Brian? Apparently he's passing out again. Okay, so so let's okay. Let's talk about the Natalie series because that intrigues me more than anything. You know, this transition from being you know sort of business oriented, you know, entrepreneur and all that, and then becoming you know Sissy Rochelle. You know, that's your pen name when you write children's books. And you know, how did that come about? I mean, what? And how do you make that transition? I find that very, very intriguing and fascinating.
Well, growing up, my mom always nourished me being loving to draw and illustrate and write and things like that. So that was in me way before being an entrepreneur. So then, of course, when I had kids and my own, looking back on my own kid stories and things like that, I just decided I wanted to document that somehow. And find a way to share that with my kids and other kids. And I love children. I actually work with community children in a kids choir, and I've always been surrounded by kids, so I couldn't just totally leave that world. So that's why Sissy Rochelle was born, because it allows me to be a different person. You know, I can just totally leave the Aneri Bellamy entrepreneur world and be playful and gentle and things like that with the kids. So Sissy Rochelle actually was born from the fact that I call my sister Sissy. That's just what I call her. And then Rochelle is my middle name. So I set it together and it worked.
Okay, it worked. So the pen name. But all right, so, you know, at what point in your life did you decide, okay, you know, I mean, did you discover that, you know, you can write and you can illustrate? Because, you know, and to put those two together and to make a children's book, I mean that's pretty big. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, at what point did you get inspired? Obviously, at some point you got inspired, you know, when you were younger and all that, to be involved with what you're doing, regardless of it being an entrepreneur or whatnot. I mean, there is some sort of creative urge or something that was just totally embedded in you at a young age.
Yeah, actually, my mom still has a picture I drew in kindergarten, where I drew a self portrait of myself, and I have all kind of books and things that she kept where I was drawing pictures and writing poems and creating little booklets all along the way. I had an English teacher who really pushed it to the next level, because she would put my essays in contests. And they would always come back and say that I didn't write it. I would always get disqualified. So what she did was she had me write one in the classroom, and she was able to say, well, no, she really wrote this because she sat in my classroom and wrote the whole thing. And it made it in a newspaper. I won first place. It was a creative writing contest. And so I just kept writing. I'd write poems and everything all along the way, even after having children. And one day, I sat down, and my baby cow actually wasn't born yet. And I just started drawing this little girl. This is just this little girl that I saw in my mind, and I put her on a piece of paper. And then I kept revisiting the character. And then the next thing you know, she got a name, Natalie. And it came from what my mom calls me. Now, granted, my name is Aneri. My middle name is Rochelle. Nowhere in there does the name Natalie come out. But for some reason, that's the name my mom decided to start calling me all of a sudden. So that's the name I gave the character. And then listening to my kids' little things that they say, you know, how they think of ways to say things that we would never imagine. Kind of like the whole cow, you know, the brown cow makes the chocolate milk. You know, that's just how kids think. So I took those ideas and I took some of my childhood stories and I put them together in this character. So the book is written from a four-year-old's point of view. Like the whole voice is from a four-year-old's point of view. There really is no narrative in it. She's telling the whole story. To the point where I had someone edit the book one time, and they kept correcting stuff. And I'm like, no, that's supposed to be that way. A four-year-old is not going to say that correctly. This is how they're going to say it. You know, they're not going to say 4 weeks or 5 weeks. They're going to say five Tuesdays or four Tuesdays. So just putting all that together, the character was created. I put her out and let a couple of people read it, and their reaction to it was great. So
yeah,
the series was born.
Nice. So how many of these books have you completed at this point?
Well, I'm getting ready to launch the first one called Natalie's New Coat, but I have four waiting to come out after that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Natalie,
how long
messy,
does it take
messy
you?
Natalie.
Yeah, how long does it take you to, you know, I mean, to write and illustrate too? I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, how long does it take you to, you know, assemble and put together a book?
If I'm inspired and I have the time to focus, maybe about a week, because I can crank the stories out in a couple of hours.
Right.
And once I'm inspired to draw, I have to roll with inspiration while it's there, because it comes and goes, just like writing comes and goes. One day I might be able to write great, and the next nothing comes to mind. So whenever it's there, I just jump on the inspiration. Like the other books are ready, they just need pictures. So the next time I get inspired to draw, then I'll draw the pictures to go with the story. So
you have no formal, like, background as, you know, as far as illustration goes? It's just sort of a natural process for you?
Yeah, it's just I was told that I got it from my grandfather. I was told that he could draw. So it's just handed down, you know. Now, what I did do with this series is, a lot of times when you think of illustrations, and this is one reason why a lot of the publishing companies I didn't go with, a lot of the books have the same type illustrations. And when a kid looks at it, they can't really relate to being able to do that, because it looks like pictures far beyond their reach. You know, it's professional, artistic pictures. So I deliberately dialed it down to the point where I use colored pencils, you know, just because I wanted the kids to be able to look at the pictures and imagine themselves being able to draw it. I wanted them to be able to relate to it and the books to actually be on their level. So you'll find, everybody will find that the pictures and everything, the whole book has the feel of a kid.
Well, right. I mean, children's books, you know, the artwork and all that, it's not, you know, elaborate, you know, it's not like something from, you know, something Monet would do or anything like that. You know, it needs to have its own special kind of vibe and all that. And, you know, the style of, you know, the artwork, whatever, should kind of, you know, jive with, you know, the content of the book. So, you know, I understand that. Believe me, I'm a cartoonist and writer and et cetera myself. And, you know, something I've always wanted to do is, you know, write and illustrate a kid's book. So I find it very inspiring, you know, to actually talk to someone who is doing that. And you are doing that, and you had that going on. And for this whole series, you know, the whole Natalie series, I find that very fascinating. And, you know, what? Yeah, I hope to follow in your footsteps to a degree. I really do.
Yeah, come on. It's fun. It's fun. It's a mental break, too, to be able to be a kid for a while, you know, basically, because in order to write them, you have to jump inside that kid inside of you. You have to allow yourself to go there. You know, you don't have to be daddy or mama or, you know, business person, or you have 100% permission to be that kid inside of you in order to really make it work. So It's an ability to just be in a whole new world. Now, what I also did with the series is it's going to have a little club that goes with it.
A little what?
So, a little club, like a book club.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm not really pushing the writer as many people do. I'm pushing more the character. So Natalie will send out personal birthday cards and holiday cards. And, I'm glad we're new friends. Here's some new information about me or, like letters. How I'm just writing you a letter. I hope everything's going okay. Those kind of things. And it'll be to the children that's a part of the club. And it won't be signed by Sissy Rochelle. It'll be signed by Natalie. So it's definitely
nice.
A build of the character.
Here's my – glad you brought that up. Do you find it necessary, at this point, the whole, everything, that goes on anymore is very competitive. Do you find it necessary to do something kind of – and I don't mean to say gimmicky, but, something unique maybe like that to kind of like, step up and, be outside of, the norm or, to kind of, shine and be above the others, just get some attention. Doing something like that. What you just said, that's a very cool idea and very unique. It feels like, in this day and age, especially, with all the social media and everything and all these other outlets, you have to find some sort of, niche or some sort of, way to, step outside and be seen. Do you find that necessary, with the series?
Well, it'll definitely help the series, but it wasn't the motivation behind it. The motivation behind it was most children's books are pushing the author. Like it's for the author to shine. It doesn't really it's something nice for the kids to read, but it's not really for them, if that makes sense. Like it's just a nice read, but it doesn't tackle the kid itself. So I wanted this series to do two things. I wanted it to help the parents and help the children.
Right.
So the part that helps the kids and makes the kids feel special is those personalized birthday cards and letters. And because how many kids actually get their own mail,
Right. That's nice.
And then the parents get to see things from a four-year-old's point of view. Because a lot of times we don't think on their level, and we're trying to figure out, I'll give you a little sneak peek. In Messy, Messy Natalie, Natalie tears apart this telephone because she wants to know why it rings. Like, well, what's making it ring? So she literally takes the house phone and takes it apart. Well, I actually did that when I was little. I actually took apart the telephone because I wanted to know what inside of it made it ring. Like, what makes it make that noise? Now, granted, when my mom got in the kitchen, and her telephone was in a gazillion pieces, she wasn't too happy about that. But at the end of the day, in the story, since it's told from a four-year-old's point of view, parents will get to kind of get a glimpse of what that four-year-old is really thinking when they're tearing that phone apart or whatever it is that they're doing. So as parents are reading it, if they really pay attention, they'll be able to kind of understand where their kids that age were coming from, if they're past that age, or where they're currently coming from.
Cool. Man, you really have your stuff together. I'm really impressed and a little envious.
I'm telling you to come along. just sit down and start writing,
Just have it going on, and just the way you balance everything, and you have this all going on, and you're doing PR. All the PR stuff and all that, just it's amazing. And you know what? Let's not fail to mention the brand new radio show here you have going on with Mr. Anthony Collins, correct? Yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah. 4 Year Success Radio Show on Vibration Network. Come on, let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, I wanted to have a platform that went with the Institute where it could be live and people could actually ask questions.
Uh-huh.
So it started out with conference calls, actually.
Uh-huh.
And people actually called in and have those conference calls and ask questions. And I want to be able to give back to entrepreneurs and give them a platform to kind of advertise themselves. So the show is going to allow me to put it together. So I'll have an expert on, maybe say the topic is marketing.
Uh-huh.
I'll have a marketing expert on to share their business, what they do, share some tips, and then callers can call in and ask questions. They can ask me or they can ask the expert, you know, well, I'm stuck with this or I need help doing this. And then it allows me a platform to give them tips and inspire them and maybe talk someone through something that's keeping them from being business owners. So it just opens up that platform to be able to communicate because, again, there's all kind of tips and things out there, but there's always
right.
that one thing missing. So I'm trying to cover all the bases where I don't leave anybody hanging. You know, everybody has some way of being able to reach out and become successful somehow.
Right. So, okay, well, have you guys had your debut episode yet, you and Mr. Anthony?
No, we're going to do that February the 16th. That's,
February 16th, all right. Well, you need to let us all know. Give us the connection here.
Yep, it's going to be February the 16th, and
uh-huh.
it's going to be at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
And I'm not going to tell who that first guest is going to be in order to get that information.
Okay.
Then you join our group, For Your Success. For Your Success Show is the name of the group.
Uh-huh.
And inside that group, after each call, people that still have questions that didn't get answered, they'll be able to post their questions there. It will be able to answer them, all that kind of stuff. But, of course, you have to join the group to get all that inside info.
Well, that's awesome. I'm going to join.
You're
I'm going
already
to join.
There.
You have so much cool stuff going on. And hey, you know, if you don't mind me asking, how did you get connected with Anthony Collins? I mean, how did you guys meet? I mean, he's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, life is outstanding. Isn't that what he says? Life
uh-huh.
is outstanding.
Yeah,
yes.
Life is outstanding. I mean, how did that whole connection happen, if you don't mind me asking?
You know, I'm trying to remember. You know, I mean, sometimes things just happen. Like when you're pushing and you're trying, things just seem to fall in place. If you're patient
right.
and you keep pushing, they always fall in place. So I was searching around when I was
uh-huh.
first starting the Institute, and I don't even remember what I was searching for, but I ended up hitting his page, and he had like 25,000 likes. Well, you know, that gets anybody's attention. I'm like, who are you, and how did you get that? So I sent him a message. He actually responded, which was kind of a surprise to me. And I told him about the Institute, and I invited him to my conference call. And he actually took the time to call in.
Uh-huh.
And from there, he was like, hey, that was a good call. You know, feel free, you know, to do that again. I'll
uh-huh.
come to the next one. And then from there, he had me listen to some of his shows, you know, and he told me, hey, if you call in, you can do a plug after my blog. And just from there, you know, a business relationship developed. And
right,
he told me
right.
then.
Oh.
He said,
right.
hey, first of the year, have your own show. And I'm like, have my own what? No, I'm good. No, I was so not open to that idea. You know, and
right.
I didn't want to, like, totally shut him down. So I was like, well, okay, I hear you. Thank you. And I'm thinking to myself, there is no way.
Well, see, that's
I'm doing
the thing.
That.
That's the beautiful thing I find, you know, about you and Anthony. You guys are such positive, you know, people, you know, and you guys constantly put out, like, this positive vibe. And I think, you know, more people, you know, need that on Facebook, elsewhere, you know, just in life in general. And I admire that. And I admire, you know, what you have going on. And I'm sure as heck that, you know, that you and Anthony co-hosting a radio show, I mean, my goodness, that's just going to, like, yeah, that's going to be, you know, okay, I'm just going to cuss. it's going to kick all kinds of ass, okay? I mean, it really is. It's just, it's a beautiful thing. It really, really is. And, you know, I'm excited to hear about that. And you have to keep us all, you know, in tune with that and a part of that because, I might call in as some sort of creepy guy.
You might call in? Did you say you might call in?
Yeah, I might
call in
as some sort of creepy guy under a pseudo, a pen name. I'll be like, I make comic books of an adult nature, and I feel very guilty about. No, I'm just kidding.
I would so have an answer for you. I'd be like, well, if it's making you guilty, then maybe you shouldn't do it. But hey, there's no point in being guilty because somebody will buy it.
You're right. See, that's funny. Yes. You're so right. It's true. It's true.
I'm not gonna buy it. There's a market for that. You just have to find it.
There's a market for everything.
There's a market for everything. Yes, there is a market for everything.
oh, my goodness. Okay, so, all right. Hey, do you mind if I ask... since we're at this point, do you mind if I ask, I know you're involved with the whole, Married to the Grind thing. Do you have any, right? I know you're kind of PR for them a little bit, the whole Married to the Grind. Do you mind if I talk about that? Or is that, strictly, off limits?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that it's off limits. However,
right.
I would say that right now, Married to the Grind is grinding on. And,
it's grinding on. Uh-huh.
And I think, and I think I've got them where they needed to be.
Uh-huh.
So they'll, I'm not sure when they're going to be launching their show now.
Right.
Because I don't do as much PR for them as I did to get them launched out and going.
Right.
But, for the most detailed information or the most up-to-date information, people can still visit that their page, Married to the
Grind.
Married
to the Grind, right.
Mm-hmm. But,
okay.
The producer is still a producer. Cast is still a cast.
Right.
And they're moving forward, making some big changes, making some big moves.
Yeah,
so,
I'm sure they are. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be exciting. Very much so. Wow. Okay. So, man. Well, as far as the Natalie series, and the artwork and all that, I'm kind of curious as to how do you do the artwork? Do you write the stuff first, and then do you then draw a picture with it? Or, what is that process like as far as, doing the Natalie series? I'm really curious about that. As, being a writer and a cartoonist and artist myself, how do you balance the two? The art, does the writing come first, the art, or how's that work for you?
Well, for me,
uh-huh.
I write the story first. And
right.
then I go back and reread it, and
uh-huh.
then whatever visuals come to mind is what I put on paper.
Right.
But the entrepreneur side of me wants to
oh,
say,
boy, here we go. Okay.
Here we go. We're going to switch over. Wants to say this. There is – people get so technical, they
uh-huh.
lose the creative and passion side that really produces the best quality work. So whatever works for you, that's my advice, is however it works. If you draw 100 pictures first and then the words come, then fine.
Uh-huh.
If the words come and then the pictures, then fine. If it comes together, however it comes, just let it come. Because, if you're like, oh, my God, wait, I have a picture in my mind, but how am I going to draw this picture and I don't have the words yet? Then you just lost something right there because something powerful was getting ready to happen and you blocked
right.
it because of being technical. So whatever works. If
yeah.
you're walking through the grocery store and you get inspired by a can of green beans, then be inspired.
I agree. That's a good point. that's a good point. Where do, I mean, here, my personal experience, okay? As an artist, as a writer, as a cartoonist, whatever, I have found inspiration comes to me at the most inopportune times. I'll be in the shower. I'll be driving the car. And it's like, holy crap, this is a great idea, but I can't write it down or anything. When does it happen for you? Like, is it like that for you? Is this this wild, spontaneous, like, oh, my gosh, this is a great idea. I got to write it down. I got to find some way to document this. I mean, does that happen to you?
It does, but unlike you, I don't say I can't write this down. If I'm in the shower and it hits me, daggone, and I'm going to wrap a towel up, leave the shower running, run out, write it down. Don't look. Call it to the family. Don't look. Get it down on a piece of paper, jump back in the shower and keep it moving. You got to catch it when it's coming, you know. So if it hits you in the shower, then I would advise taking a notebook and an ink pen in the bathroom with you and just have it handy just in case.
Right,
you know.
Right. So that's another good point. I mean, I have always, like, you know, I don't go anywhere without my I always wear shorts. A pair of, like, cargo shorts that has, like, little pockets on the sides. That's, like, my man purse because I'm a stay-at-home dad. So the little pockets on the sides is my man purse, okay? So, you know, I don't go anywhere without, like, you know, a little notebook, like, tucked in there or something to write on. I mean, so do you constantly bring, like, a little something to write on just when you go out, like, in your purse or anything like that, just in case you get inspiration? Say you're at, you know, McDonald's, or say you're at some other restaurant, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, I had this great idea. I got to write it down.
Yeah, that's what
I do
that.
Now. I mean,
yeah, that's what I do now. That's the more organized now side of me. But before,
yeah.
I grabbed, see, I did that because my husband was like, okay, look, the mail, receipts, and all this has to stop suffering because you get an idea. So, here's a notebook. You know, but I would grab whatever was closest to me and write on. I have literally been in a restaurant and something hit me, and the ticket has been there. I'm like, hey, do you have to have this ticket? Like, can we make a copy of it? Do you just need the total off of it? Because I sort of kind of wrote on the back of it, like I didn't have anything else, you know. So that's the more organized way of doing it now, is to, you know, the notebook and the ink pen. But that wasn't always how it happened. It just, my hand, you know, like I said, nail, mine or somebody else's, whatever I could grab. So, that's the more organized way of doing things. And the whole shower thing, the whole wrap a towel, run, write it down anyway, I really did that. So,
wow, okay.
I really do, like, put the notebook in the pen. So I guess that's what I try to tell people is life does not have to be so yes and no, so do's and don'ts. You know, people just kind of cheat themselves out of living by making such small things so important. It's like,
right. Okay,
so you hear a song in the store and you like the song, then you want to dance. You know, restaurants say shoes and shirt required. They don't say you can't dance or, you know, you can't sing. So people are just so afraid to be themselves that they just lose out on so much. And that crosses over to the business world. You have to put your character into what you do or you're just a robot, really. So
just a robot. Yeah, well, yeah, I get that. Right. You know, being a parent, you know, and being a creative person, all that, you know, I get that. I exactly what you're saying. It's like, yeah, you have to make that, you have to draw that line, you know, between becoming some sort of zombie robot and just, you know, keeping that creative drive alive. And it sounds like you have been doing that, and I admire it big time. Not many people can do that. It's a big deal. It really is in so many ways. And I admire what you have going on. You have so much going on. And you know, hey,
So, do you mind me asking? I know we were bringing up this whole weird thing about earlier about George Zimmerman and DMX boxing. I mean, what's? I mean, that's, you know, that's a whole other subject. I guess we're at the, you know, in the last hour here, and you know, it's kind of a weird thing, but it's like some sort of like trending issue going on in our society, you know, and the media seems to be perpetuating it and everything else. I mean, what do you think of something like that? I find it, I don't know, kind of deplorable that someone like George Zimmerman would even be considered a celebrity, you know. And that brings up another point. It's like, what defines a celebrity in your opinion at this point? I mean, he's not a celebrity. He just some, pardon my, you know, horrible Ohio French here, asswipe, you know, who murdered someone, and now he's a celebrity and he's going to box DMX. I mean, what's your opinion on something like that, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah. Well, in all honesty, my brain is occupied by so much that it's like, who is DMX? News. You know, news, who has time to look at the news? Like, all I need to know is whether my kids need to wear a coat or they can put on a T-shirt. Just give me the weather and let's keep it moving.
Good answer.
So
you know what? Neither one of them are worth talking about.
So, and I don't know. It was like, really, and when would they be in the same place to actually box, and when's the last time DMX did something?
Exactly. It seems like a publicity stunt on his part, and, you know, the other guy, the George Zimmerman, you know, like, he's not a celebrity. It just seems pretty bad in both ways.
I mean,
I agree.
Hey, I guess that's just that honest side of me that says, you know, am I going to stand in front of the TV and listen to whether they're going to box till 5 o'clock and then my daughter screaming at me, I'm late for practice, you know, or I'm going to be running out the door to get the practice. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's not going to feed me whether they box or not.
You know what I say, just feed him to the lions.
Yeah.
Oh. Just like the Romans would have, you know. Screw them both. yeah. So, yeah, you know, okay. You've been wonderful, and thank you so much for being on. I mean, my goodness.
Thanks. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
You're fun. You're fun, and you have so much going on, and I really admire what you have going on, especially, you know, since you are, you know, a parent. You know, and being able to make that whole balance of being a parent and taking on all this other stuff and being creative at the same time. I mean, that's a huge challenge, and I admire that. And I admire, you know, you being here on the show and what you have going on and the fact you can balance all that, and you are, you know, you're succeeding. And you are really making a difference, I think, in very many ways. So, yeah, and you hung out with me here on this show.
Yep.
And
My bedtime, but I managed.
Yeah, I know. I was afraid about, you know, I was totally afraid of that. I was like, oh boy, I'm going to keep her up. It's past my bedtime too.
No,
but,
I'm just kidding.
It's
I'm
just a Friday night thing.
It's
just a Friday night thing when you have nothing to lose. You know, Friday night, some of us have nothing to lose. We just kind of, like, roll with it. But, yeah, you've been great. And thank you so much for being on. And, you know, we got to stay in touch. And you got to be on again here soon, okay? I mean, you're just, yeah, you got a lot going on. I admire it. And, you know, keep us, you know, informed with, you know, For Your Success radio show here coming up with Anthony Collins, and of course, more than anything, the Natalie series, you know, of books and all that, because that to me is really intriguing, and I really want to support that. And so,
Yeah, well, I would encourage people to like the, it's called the Natalie Collection on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And Institute of Entrepreneurial Success on Facebook, because I'm going to be launching the new sites, the new website form, the launch dates, the e-courses, all of that. So you have to like those pages to get the most up-to-date information so you're not left behind. You don't miss the specials and things like that. So.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you so much. Here,
thank you.
I guess we will just we'll fade out here with a little bit of let's see. Let me find a fun song for us to fade out with. How about Freedom? Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Here we go. All right. Thank you so
all
much.
Right.
All right.
You have a good day.
Take care. Good night.
Good night.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, and I feel the near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained and rode us all the way into New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I sang soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers clapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, hon, if it ain't free. Me and my Bobby, yeah. From the Kentucky coal mine to the California sun, hey, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Through all kinds of weather, through everything we've done, your Bobby, baby, kept me from the whole world. Next to mine.